Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.
Identities are forged on the road, and for the third time in four games, that is where Ohio State is heading. Welcome to Snap Judgments. He is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. Ryan Day giving his Tuesday update in here at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Going to get ready for a hard fighting team in Wisconsin, a well-coached team. And he said a good team, but that's certainly not a talent-equated situation. And that, to me, Berm, as I'm looking ahead to Saturday, 3:30 Eastern time at Camp Randall, it's a little bit shocking to look at the talent disparity between these two teams.
It's more than you would think, considering Wisconsin's tradition and the program's legacies and all that stuff. But you know, I thought it was a good reminder from Ryan Day today. Like, Wisconsin's played pretty good teams this year. We joked about Wisconsin and the challenges they were going to have heading into the season because of their schedule. So now, like, the schedule's playing out the way we think it was going to.
I'd say worse.
Maybe a touch worse because the 37-0 loss. But you got to throw that one out, right?
No, he did not say to throw that out because it actually does sort of fit in the way the Badgers are playing.
And it also, the Iowa offense, believe it or not, sort of fits in the way Ohio State's playing. So with obviously higher level players. But it is, you know, Ryan Day is never going to sit here and disrespect another team. I thought it was important to point out that this team plays hard. Like, because for Ohio State on Saturday, the issue was not talent. The issue was like, okay, we took our foot off the gas. And if the other team is playing hard the whole time, and Luke Fickell's team, I don't care what you say, you know Luke better than almost anybody in this business on our side of it. Luke Fickell's teams are going to play hard until the end of the game, period. Yeah,
that's what makes it, to me, like, shocking to look 1-85, because when Luke went to Wisconsin, I thought for sure that he would be able to elevate what Paul Chryst did there. And think about some of the double overtime or the overtime games we've seen, you know, Big Ten championship games between Wisconsin. Like, both of these programs did not build their rosters the same way, and it made for a fascinating contrast in styles. And I thought, well, if you can get some of that toughness, some of that physicality, and I continue to believe that Luke Fickell is a very good coach, and it's hard for me to wrap my mind around where the disconnect has come, because this, and I know we can point to the offense and like
NIL, the offense. I mean, there's obviously things that every program is dealing with, but Luke went in there and changed the entire mindset of the attack. You know, you started this episode of Snap Judgments, we're talking about identities being forged. Like, Wisconsin was one of the most established identities in college football.
Correct. Yeah.
And like, that may have been a pretty gross miscalculation by Luke to bring in Phil Longo when he did and try to change the offense in Madison to a more modern pass first thing that just can't work if you don't have high level quarterbacks, high level receivers, and an environment that allows you to spread the ball around. So it's an interesting matchup. Certainly Ryan Day will talk more about it on Wednesday night and be a little bit more focused. I thought he seemed pretty tired today. Am I wrong? I'm tired. Do you think he looked tired? Sounded tired?
He had a juicier post-game press conference and a lot more smiles than we typically see from him in that situation. I think this was a back-to-the-grind type press conference from Ryan Day, knowing, like, because when I say it's not for nothing, three road games in 4 weeks, and you could throw out the rest of the tape. Going to Camp Randall, their fan base, you know, I'm going to be interested to see what the reaction is for Luke Fickell and the Badgers. They are always on edge when Ohio State comes into town. Like, I expect it'll be still a great atmosphere. It'll be hostile. And aside from that, it's the flights. It's adjusting your schedule. Thinking back to, you know, going across the country 2 weeks ago to Washington, some of that can still wear on you. And I'm not suggesting that that was the case in the fourth quarter on Saturday at Illinois as much as just human nature. But stacking those in a row, I think that does, as a coaching staff, as a player, as a record label, as a crew, all of that, you know, wears on you. And I think that that part is on his mind, like making sure that you manage this on a bloody Tuesday after a Wednesday practice to get them ready, because these are college age kids. And even if it's an NFL team, three road trips in 4 weeks is going to be a lot. And the other parts are definitely true. Like, Luke Fickell is not going to stop coaching this team very hard, and Wisconsin is going to play hard. This is, as you've said and pointed out, if that's the Super Bowl for everyone, this is a chance for Luke, his staff, and the Badgers to actually say that they're still here and they're not going down without a fight. This is their Super Bowl opportunity. Like, it would be crazy to think in this building that Ohio State would overlook that, especially knowing that there's an off week behind it.
If you if you're Luke Fickell in Wisconsin and you win this game, you say, this is why our staff should stay in place. This is why you gave us the extension in the offseason. This is why we should continue to have an opportunity to grow. You go out and you lose 37-0 again, 42-0. It's a much harder sell. That crowd, if Ohio State gets up 14-0 in the first quarter in that game, it's over. It's over. They're going to leave. So there's a lot at stake for Wisconsin in a game and for Luke Fickell personally, obviously against his alma mater and the team that and program that he loves and helped build. So it's interesting. This was a very fascinating press conference, like a lot of different discussion points kind of all over the map. Very little about Wisconsin, actually, which, you know, we're opening up talking about it because that's the game this week. But Ryan Day seemed to be avoidant when discussing the potential of Bo Jackson injury. We don't know. Well, I guess we'll figure out more about that on Wednesday when we see what he looks like walking off the practice field. But he went back into the run game again and again seemed to hedge a little bit to say, I'm not unhappy with where it's going, but it needs to improve. And are you hearing that the same way I am, which is saying, I'm actually unhappy with the way this is going and it needs to improve?
I mean, what's the rule of snap judgments and a live microphone for Ryan Day?
Yeah, nothing's an accident.
So I actually believe him. And maybe this is an example of why I shouldn't always take it at face value. Maybe this is the first true example of him saying something that is not his true feelings, not how he actually feels about the direction of this program. But I think, you know, he dipped into something that Bobby Carpenter mentioned on Monday during the live show at Roosters, which is that some of the red zone situations, there it was 3rd and 3 and you got 4, then that's a productive run. Yeah. And if you're going to just use the counting stats and the yards per carry, it may not reflect efficiency and success in the run game. I would say that today he made it clear that he feels that there's room for improvement, but I don't think that he went as far as being unhappy about it.
Yeah, I feel like this is a guy who's understanding that they are a third of the way through what they hope is their season, you know? And so, like, why spend – like, you can't allow yourself to get completely bogged down in, well, we're only averaging 4.8 yards a carry this year, or we need to be averaging 5.6 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there are obviously things that need to be corrected. But if you look at the offensive line as a whole, like, they're playing really, really well. We just don't know – As I said on Monday at the live show at Roosters, I'm not sure if this offense is really designed for these running backs. I think Bo Jackson is the closest one at his healthiest to be the type of back, the type of versatility that he offers, the ability to hit a hole quickly, the ability to make himself small, the ability to come out of the backfield. Like, I think Bo Jackson is the best example of one guy that does everything.
And he had to play the run game had to play without him in the second half against Illinois, so it wasn't going
to
be the same.
Yeah, and that's ultimately where I'm trying to figure out, like, and I didn't get to ask that question today to him, but when you have 20 carries for 41 yards after Bo Jackson leaves the game in the third and fourth quarter, all you really need to do in those moments to avoid the fourth quarter issues is pick up a couple first downs on the ground. And Ryan Day had talked last week, if you have tendencies and you're not really good at anything, he said it today about talking about Jermaine Matthews and others. If you know what's coming, then they know how to stop you, and it's less successful, less efficient.
Mm-hmm.
But being a good running football team means you know we're running, and we're still
going to do it anyway. Yeah,
and that's what Ohio State turned into last year. It has not been that way this year. When the defense has known Ohio State is running, they have been able to pretty much stop it. And I, of course, I'm throwing away the Grambling State game and the fourth quarter of the Ohio game. But it seems, I mean, Minnesota is a top five rush defense in the Big Ten or in the country. They held Ohio State to under 3 yards a carry. Illinois held Ohio State to under 3 yards a carry. Texas held Ohio State to under 3 yards a carry. Like, when you know it's coming and you can't get 4, then you have, I think, things to work on. And I think that Ryan's trying to thread that needle of, like, overall, I'm not unhappy with the guys. I know, like, and I think that might be a realization that these players are not Quinshon Judkins and Trayvon Henderson.
The other part is, and I just had this realization while you were talking about it, because you were mentioning last year and being able to run right at teams even when they knew it was about to happen to them. And I'm sure other people have thought about this previously. I think maybe you've even mentioned it before, at least going into the season. Will Howard's rushing ability completely changed the rushing attack and the threat that posed to teams? And I don't think Julian Sain is incapable of that, We certainly know that Lincoln Kienholz could do that if that was of utmost importance to use the quarterback run game for Ohio State. They've dipped into that a couple times. I'm definitely not advocating that they do that. If Julian Sain kept it a couple times on some of these, you know, RPOs or zone read runs and had decision makings and just offered a little bit more of a threat from that position, that's what Will Howard offered that doesn't exist in this iteration of the offense. So when we talk about Bo Jackson, C.J. Donaldson, James Peoples, the fit in this, like why is it not connected the way for the explosives that they're looking for? I think there's a lot of times where you just like you're sitting in the press box. It's like, oh, if Julian had pulled that, which, you know, I know it is a hypothetical, I mean, and a defense would.
What did C.J. Stroud say?
He's not a running back.
Right. So,
and I'm saying that seems to be the way that Ohio State is treating this with Julian Sand. So that means that the threat has to come in a different way. And we saw what one of those solutions was going to be on Saturday. And if a block is made, Jeremiah Smith is probably coasting into the end zone from 40 yards out, and you get an explosive play, you get a Heisman stat pad, you get everything. And we wouldn't maybe be talking about some of that. I think that's when some of the creativity to me has to come up, where it is the pop pass, it is the jet sweep. I am a broken record on that, but we saw Ohio State try to get to that point on Saturday.
I'm a broken record in that what we saw in 2021, when you didn't have Trevion and Quinshon at their, you know, it was a freshman year of Trevion, but it wasn't who he became. You didn't have Quinshon as the complimentary back. You didn't have a running quarterback that could throw a wrinkle in there. So they just threw it all the time. And like, I'm okay with that. So like, I don't care if Julian Sane doesn't run it. Like, my problem is that if you're...
But then what happened and the reason that they have to keep working on it is because what happened when they got into a game where they needed to get third and short, and they, you know, they got stopped there and that game ended.
So it's just a very, I think it's a nuanced discussion, but some of it is just crafted around this idea that we're heading into week six. Yeah, the regular season's halfway over, but like, if you accomplish your goals, if you hit the postseason 12-0, you have five more games. Like we saw an entirely different Ohio State team in the playoff last year than we did in the regular season.
Sure did.
And so like, there is at least proof positive that is a possibility. Zach and Bobby were talking about it a ton on Monday's show at Roosters. Like, well, you know, why show anything? Just wait till the playoff. And I think that infuriates people, the idea of like Ohio State intentionally playing with one hand behind its back. But as Ryan Day said during this press conference today, like in the 12-man team playoff era, what's goal number one? Win.
Win.
It doesn't matter how you do it. Just win. And he keeps winning.
It sounds like sacrilege to be talking about sports, to be talking about college football and being like, well, if you can win with one hand behind your back, save your other hand until it actually matters. Yeah. Like I think that has to be part of the adjustment for expectations. And like, it really doesn't do Ohio State any good to win 50-0.
No,
like, it doesn't mean anything.
No, and it's just, I think people are just so used to Ryan Day. Like Ryan Day, it changed offense at Ohio State when he got here in 2017. And now here we are, year seven of the Ryan Day era, and he's like a defensive head coach. not like he's defensive, but like
he's now become the evolution of Jim Tressel.
So this team is taking on such a different identity than what we've, again, going back to that word, which has been a buzzword really since the start of the season. What is this team's identity? Like, maybe we're discovering what this team's identity is, which is a team that just wins football games.
That seems like a pretty good thing to be.
It's not bad.
I don't know. Am I wrong? I think so. Here's, I'm going to go back to what you asked me. And I think the mood and the discussion about the run game may be tied up to the uncertainty about what is the severity of Bo Jackson's ankle injury. And we don't know as we stand here. They're going to be on the practice field for a Bloody Tuesday later on. And then Wednesday night, you know, we'll be back in here to, you know, talk to Ryan Day, talk to a handful of players, and we'll see Bo Jackson and try and get an eyeball view of what's going on. So I'm not here to report one way or the other, but if you're sensing an elevation in concern, I would think that would have to be it, because it has been proven through the first half of the season that Bo Jackson is the guy that elevates the ceiling for the run game. And if you remove that and you go back to that earlier season version with just C.J. Donaldson and James Peoples, we saw the lack of explosivity in that attack.
Yeah, there was a staff member of the Ohio State Buckeyes football program on Saturday in Champaign, Illinois, who said to me, and I quote, "The run game will go as far as Bo Jackson can take it." And so if you have even a slight concern that Bo Jackson is not going to be able to be 100% or that he might need to take a little breather, then you go, okay, now maybe we have to readjust some things. That's not meant to be saying that James Peoples and CJ Donaldson can't be effective. It's not to say that Isaiah West couldn't provide a similar type of spark than Bo Jackson, but it's clear when Bo Jackson walked in this building in January that everyone here went, okay, that's actually different than we anticipated it being. And he saw a 2,000-yard rusher come in here from West Virginia. He saw the anointed heir apparent to Trevion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins and James Peoples. And he went doop, 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 and leapfrogged them both. And now you're sitting here going, but now what? So that's actually like the most interesting thing about this week is seeing Bo tomorrow night and getting a sense of what that actually means for him in this offense. But we'll see, because it's not going to really – it shouldn't matter this weekend against Wisconsin, although it's supposed to rain in Madison, I guess, from what I heard. So.
Oh, well, thank you for that weather update, Brim K. Yeah, Ryan did say
– Jermaine.
Yeah. So don't worry, we'll talk about
it. I mean, I'm just saying weather is germane to the conversation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why I immediately jumped to
think just, about Jermaine. He's constantly just going to places he doesn't need to
go. He's so good. Anyway, Ryan Day said directly that Bo Jackson, they expect him to get back to practice. The same is true for Lorenzo Styles Jr. None of that is guaranteed for Saturday because it's only Tuesday. They're not going to make those decisions until later in the week. We don't know anything further about Edric Houston's status for the Wisconsin trip either. That we are going to certainly be looking and asking Ryan Day about that Wednesday night during the lightning round. But I think for a snappy J on a Tuesday from Ryan Day, that's about all I got out of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of conversation. Again, it was a fascinating press conference. Go to the 10TV YouTube channel and watch it there if you are interested. A lot of topics, conversations about James Franklin, conversations about the transfer portal, conversations about all sorts of topics.
What do people want Ryan Day to say about James Franklin being fired? I mean, I know that Ryan Day has elevated to this place as one of the few national championship coaches where, because on Tuesday, he was asked about the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. He was asked about, you know, when you have to begin roster management decisions. He was asked about the influx potentially of private equity cash into the Big Ten, what that would mean. And I understand that there are a few opportunities to ask one of the most influential coaches in college football about the things that impact college football, but he's getting ready. He's 2 hours away, and he kept looking at the clock on Tuesday. And he's like, well, Bloody Tuesday starts in 2 hours. I'm going to get ready for practice, and we're going to do first downs, and we're going to try and create more turnovers, and we need to win in the red zone and have explosives. And that's what's on his mind. So I think I sometimes get to that situation with James Franklin specifically. Like, what is he going to add to the Penn State discussion? There's nothing to say about it.
He's not, but there's three coaches now in college football that have won a national championship that are active head coaches. And like it or not, those three head coaches are the...
Do you think Kirby Smart was asked about James Franklin?
No, but he also doesn't have a personal relationship with him. He's not in the Big Ten.
Ryan Day has a personal relationship with James Franklin.
He's coached against him for 9 years. They're in the same league. They're both sponsored by Nike. I'm sure that they've had...
For now, I'm sure Penn State's going to Adidas.
Well, James is not going to be there, so it doesn't matter. I think that... whether we like it or not, whether Ryan likes it or not, and something he's actually grown into this year, you are one of the mouthpieces of college football. What you say matters as the head coach of Ohio State. Like, you are the prime minister. You are the king of England. You like your opinion matters here. Mm. And what Ryan Day says about any one of those topics will be clipped and shared and shown in every corner of the country, just like it would Kirby. No one's going to ask Kirby about it, but that, I mean, if Kalen DeBoer, I'm sure Kirby was asked when Nick Saban retired, right? Like, oh, what's that mean?
Probably.
So, like, that's just the way it is. Now, maybe we just move the press conference up to 11:30 and save a little more time. I don't know. But I'm just saying.
I know that everyone has a job to do, and I'm not being critical of people who need that.
Nobody asked him how happy he is at Ohio State. And
I thought you were going
to
do that.
I wanted to ask, but I didn't want ESPN to get mad about it because...
they're the ones that set it into a live camera.
How happy is he? Did you see AJ Hawk's face at that moment? He was like, ooh, boy.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think Ryan Day's fairly happy at Ohio State. He's the second highest paid coach in football. He coaches the number one team in the country. And a program that is like on more solid footing than any program in America, period. Point blank. Find me another program in the country that is this stable right now. Georgia, stable? Nope.
No, not quite. I don't think so. Alabama, no.
Nope. Fine. Texas? Nope.
Don't think so.
Anywhere else? No. Michigan
certainly not Penn State.
Michigan fans are turning on Sherrone Moore for wearing a blue collar jacket on Monday because he was, you know, shticking it up, and so like they're like, who is this clown? Like
he reached the point of props in record time.
Yeah, I mean he went full Carrot Top. Never go full Carrot Top. Who actually seems like he's a really nice person from I've seen recent interviews with him. Interesting fella. But anyway,
we were supposed to get an interview with Carrot Top at Big Ten Media Days, and that
just, oh yeah, that's true.
You're like, why were we talking to Carrot Top?
Well, because
like,
he was in
like, maybe he knows ball.
Well, I'm sure he knows ball, but he, you know, he's doing a residency in Las Vegas. And
yeah.
So he's just living life and handing off his shtick to Sherrone Moore. So that's all.
Do you think that they had a meeting in Vegas and Carrot Top's like, hey, if you get into a rough patch, wear this shirt?
Maybe. I actually am kind of gleeful at the concept of Carrot Top formulating plans for Michigan football.
Mm.
So I'm into that, to be honest.
Okay. Well, I don't know if we'll talk about that on...
I bet we won't.
...on the Stock Watch. I'm going to twist the formula a little bit. So we're going to do it out a little bit differently on the beat on Wednesday morning, and then we'll be back in here Wednesday evening, a Woody Wednesday, to talk to Ryan Day and a handful of Buckeyes and try and get as many updates as we can as the Buckeyes get to the midway point, getting ready for the trip to Camp Randall to play Wisconsin on Saturday, 3:30 Eastern time on CBS. These are some Tuesday snap judgments, though. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.